Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside with TrendBetting.com. You've heard me on Long Shots Radio Primetime and Major League Baseball Edition on the radio. Just wanted to let you know the team at TrendBetting.com is ready to work for you. If you have not done so in the past, folks, click on TrendBetting.com. Go to the experts tabs. A team and a fleet of staff is ready and available to assist you in building your bankroll needs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis the Hitman Terry, Jeff Brandeis the Saffinator, Frank Buzz, and Brian Perks. There is something for everybody here at TrendBetting.com. Prices cheap and affordable. NCAA action, National Football League, NBA, fantasy football. It's all here and waiting for you. Join the team at TrendBetting.com. Prices are cheap and affordable. Let us put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. Hey, folks, Donnie Wrightside from Long Shots Radio. Struggling with your picks out there, filling your bankroll up, a little bit of a struggle for you? Put the experts at TrendBetting.com to work for you. Go to TrendBetting.com. It's a full-service site. Click on the experts tabs. Everything is there for what you need to build that bankroll the right way. NCAA basketball and football, National Football League, NBA, NHL, MMA, mixed martial arts. We have every single thing that you need. Once again, folks, go to TrendBetting.com. Click on the experts tabs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis Terry, Jeff Brandeis, Frank Buzz, and the Saffinator, along with myself, Donnie Wrightside, experts in the industry. Put them to work for you. TrendBetting.com. Click on the experts tabs. You can get in for as cheap as $249 a month. Specials going on all the time. Once again, folks, TrendBetting.com for all your needs in the business. Trust me, Donnie Wrightside, when I say we're going to put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. About that, folks, having a little bit of technical difficulties here coming up with a few things, but let's start the show anyway. Folks, welcome to Long Shots Radio, Major League Baseball Monday edition with myself, your host, Donnie Wrightside. What a week it was last week. We're going to go over some recaps, see where we did exceed expectations in some areas, and also see where we need to certainly get back on top of the horse and get this ball moving in the right direction. 2 weeks ago, we did pick up a little bit over 8 units of pure profit. Last week, we actually did technically, as a term in the industry, use juiced out on our plays. We went 6-5 last week, but with a flurry close just to get most of our money back last week. We did end up losing just over 2 units. So over the past 2 weeks, I believe we were up over 8 units last week, lost 2. So we're up somewhere around 6 units over the last 2 weeks. So it hasn't been too bad, and we hope to continue on our way down the path of winning money for the rest of the month of August. A lot of interesting things to talk about this week, folks. No question about it. You saw last night the return of the National Football League. Was it a lot of fun? No, it wasn't. Was it good to see NFL football on TV live? Yeah, it was. Sitting back, you know, you had the opening kickoff, it felt good, and then you realized they were going to run 3 yards in a cloud of dust, 2 yard outs for the entire night, interceptions, fumbles, barely any scoring. By about maybe 8 minutes into the first quarter, I'd seen enough. I mean, hey, I love Karen Stingley. He saw me tweet last night, that's my guy. NIU, power the Mac, Maction football. It's good to see him run for 3 yards in a cloud of dust all day long last night. Got a big kick out of that. Dree Archer was out there as well, Kent State's finest, one of those guys from the Mac. But that's what you're going to get, folks, in the Hall of Fame game. These teams have only been to practice maybe 10 to 14 days, most, maximum. You're not going to see Ben Roethlisberger out there. You did get a look at Teddy Bridgewater for a while. Matt Asiata ran the ball. AP, I mean, he's not getting in that game. Antonio Brown, he's not getting in that game either. So, I mean, there's a lot to like about last night's games just because football was back. But the overall product was awful. But, hey, that's what it is. It's football season. We get underway. It's nice to get that little taste in there and certainly carry you through the rest of August and into September once we hit the second week of September when NFL football is in full swing, as well as college football will have at least 2 weeks under its belt. It's a fun time, folks. August, there's a lot of money to be won in Major League Baseball. You just have to be real careful with what you're doing because, as we've talked about over the past couple previous shows, a lot of baseball betting now heading in through the month of August, it's really going to be value-related. Most of the favorites out there are very highly put. What do we mean by that in the terms? A month and a half ago, you're looking at a line of 130, which is now 150 to 170. A lot of crazy, crazy lines yesterday. I mean, on the mound yesterday, Max Scherzer, we ended up getting a first five winner 3-2 on the run line with Washington, but they lost that game overall. You could have got anywhere in the betting market, plus 250 to plus 275, depending on what book you had, local or offshore, obviously Las Vegas as well. But, again, value is relative. I mean, looking at that game, Johan Flan was on the mound. I mean, he's left-handed pitcher, but he's not that bad a pitcher. The reason why we liked the first five innings of that game is because Max Scherzer was on the mound. You're going to get the best out of him. You know, Carlos Gonzalez was on fire yesterday, hitting two home runs in the first five innings, and we did hold on for a 3-2 winner. But I did like the fact that outside of Bryce Harper, seven of the eight batters were right-handed. So we liked our factor there. It did work out well in our favor. But overall, I mean, a lot of people, you know, just a Joe Public or a square type better, you're going to include Washington in a lot of parlays saying, you know, Max Scherzer at home, they got to stop, you know, put an end to a losing streak, so to speak, or, you know, they got a, you know, easy game to pick up and win. You have to win that game with your ace on the mound. They didn't come through, and they didn't come through in a big way, losing as much as a favorite of minus 280 on that one. Look, folks, if you're betting money line minus 280, you might want to find a new hobby. In the long term, it almost seems to me, looking at those games that are wildly overpriced, you're better off just taking that underdog, because if they win, you know, one out of every three games, you know, over the long haul, getting almost 300. I mean, you're going to be no worse than win one out of those three games and be right around even money, and you can get on one of those hot streaks and get going. Case in point, look at the Philadelphia Phillies, almost routinely getting 200, not tonight, but over the past, you know, week to week and a half. They're out there on the road in San Diego busting up the Padres routinely again, sitting there at plus 200, plus 185, plus 175, and winning with ease. Reverse run line style, you could be winning these games, picking up like plus 300 on the Philadelphia Phillies, plus 350 on those if you were that type of gambler. I mean, overall odds percentages, you don't want to do that because they are an underdog for a reason. But case in point, again, heading into August, value is relative to what you're looking to play. Pick and choose your spots wisely. Last week, during the week, I mean, we were betting one game a night just because if there's not value there, there's no reason to keep firing ahead. Now, heading in through the weekend, we did see a little bit more value, and that's where we want to go over from exactly. You know, we want to take a look at that short-term Saturday and Sunday to see how that stacked up. Taking a look on Saturday starting out, Oakland Athletics and the Houston Astros. We took the Houston Astros on the road. McHugh's on the mound. He's a decent pitcher. The team actually has a really, really good record with McHugh. I believe out of his 18 starts, they were 13-5. Oakland does struggle to score. There's no question about that. But in the first inning, Houston doesn't capitalize, and you know what that always means. Bottom of the inning, Oakland A's come up. They get first and second with one out. Danny Valencia doubles into the gap. It was a 2-0 start to the game. And as it turns out, after five innings, two runs was all Oakland needed. It was really painful. And again, if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, you know, I'll tweet out a couple, you know, key points there in the game. But Houston was 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position just over the first five innings of that game. They did get a solo home run to make it 2-1, but every single inning, Houston had a man on second base and could not drive him home. That was a tough way to start the day, and a lot of those times, especially in the gambling business, you can't factor on exactly what is going to happen. So when you let one slip through your fingers on those, you know it's an ominous sign for what's going to take place a little bit later, because when you have that victory or should have had that victory, that's one you need to count on, especially when you have three games there. You're looking to sweep that night card, which, again, it's hard to sweep the night card. It's hard to go 2-0. It's hard to go 3-0. It's hard to go 4-0. So if you get that early winner and then you split the night caps there, you end up with a 2-1 day, and that's always the name of the game. So losing that Houston Oakland Athletics game was kind of tough. Now, heading into the next round of games, which that Houston game is a 4 o'clock start on Saturday, East Coast time, St. Louis Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers, taking a look at that game on its face, just like the matchup there. I mean, St. Louis doesn't score that many runs, but they clearly had a pitching mismatch there. Game ended up 2-0 after five innings, a nice, clean, easy sweep. I believe they scored in the first inning to grab that quick 1-0 lead, tacked on another run over the next few innings and won 2-0. Didn't really even have to stress or, you know, say, oh, my God, space is loaded, one out in the bottom of the fifth. That was a pretty clean, easy winner, which was nice. A third game there, which I didn't even get to watch. I was just checking in on my phone, the Baltimore Orioles and the Los Angeles Angels. Garrett Richards is a really good pitcher. He pitched well. They lost 2-0 after five innings. But, hey, sometimes you have just have to tip your cap. Ubaldo Jimenez has been an absolute train wreck on the mound over the past 5 to 6 starts. We thought that would carry over, but he damn near threw a no-hitter through five. I believe maybe Angels had one hit through five innings, didn't even have a chance to strike. By the time I was checking back in on that score, the only thing I saw first was Baltimore in the top of the fifth with one run. I figured we had that in the bag. They probably touched up Jimenez for 2, 3, or 4 runs, but they didn't even touch him up at all. Solo blast in the top of the fifth inning gave them a 2-0 lead, and that was all she wrote, as we went 1-2 betting 3 favorites on Saturday night. So that set us up at 2-4 on the week overall heading into Sunday, which was a sensational day. As I said again, you don't want to force picks, you don't want to force plays, but when value does present itself, you have to be willing to put your money on the line in order to profit. During early in the week, you know, one game a day, one game a day, one game a day, one game a day. Sometimes that's all you need to pick up winners. Hey, I mean, we headed into the weekend at a 2-2 clip, and it really hurt us because we only went 1-2 on Saturday, and that set us up as we needed a monster Sunday just to get back into the business. A lot of times in the past, even if we were having a losing week, you might see me not fire on Sunday, fire one, maybe two plays on Sunday. The name of the game is to not get back in and say, oh, man, you know, I'm 2-4. Boy, I better fire 7-8 plays on Sunday and hope we can run that card at 6-1 and pick up a nice profit and call it winning week. Folks, that's not even what it's about. Value presents itself, take it. If it's not there, who cares if you had? You know, you see, I do tweet out a lot, 6 out of 7 weeks, 7 out of 8 weeks, 7 out of 9 weeks, whatever what the winning percentage would be or winning weeks would be. But that's not really what it's about. That's just to give you a feel on how the overall run is going and to see how you're doing over that long term, you know, 30, 60, and 90-day type periods. But the goal is not to win every week. The goal is just to put you on enough plays where it's going to give you an advantage against your bookie or your online book, so to speak. Yesterday, we did have 5 plays because the matchups were right. In a very, very rare instance, we haven't had a full game play in over 3 months. Yesterday, there were 2 games that presented itself that showed overall value. And it's what we like to talk about in the industry is changing up tactics. If something you feel is not working at this time or something that you feel has worked in the past, which you might want to apply that type of knowledge to a situation, that's what we had yesterday. Tanaka for the Yankees, big name, big market team. You know immediately that people are going to be wanting to jump all over the New York Yankees. Now, in the instances sometimes when I take full games, I'm strictly taking a bullpen and a starting pitcher matchup that I like, which I can feel that we can apply. Now, based on disaster, if you know if the next day that the team that you bet on decides to bench 5 starters, well, you're not really going to have a chance as it is. But there were 2 games that we fired on late Saturday night as soon as lines were up on the board. Didn't want to wait till Sunday, liked what we had, and that's one of our old strategies that we use where we match up 2 dogs and you hope for the split there. You know, you should be able to grab one of those, put the plus money in your pocket, and move on. The good thing is we're going to go over in a few moments, we won both of those dog games. But getting back to the Yankees game, Estrada was on the mound for Toronto, who's been very good over the past couple of games. Tanaka has been very good as well, but he's not that same pitcher that came over before his arm or elbow issues, where he was lights out 7, 8, 9 Ks over 5 or 6 innings, and you're lucky to get a hit. Josh Donaldson homered off him in the first inning. Now, the game ends up 2-0 as we picked up a nice full game dog at plus 130 to put some money right back in the pocket to start the day. Interesting part about that game was is it shouldn't even have been 2-0. I mean, Toronto was full game, full blast the entire way. They really should have won that game by 5, 6, or even 7 runs. In the 7th inning, you see it a lot of times, they had bases loaded against that Yankee bullpen. You figure if they get 1 base hit over the next 3 batters, that's going to effectively end the game at 4-0, maybe even 5-0, and maybe they just start batting around and start bashing it. Didn't happen. They didn't even score a run. which is always a tough occurrence because even with the Yankees, I know they struggled the day before as well, always capable of busting out. I mean, the lineup is filled with superstars, guys that can really hit, veterans on that team. But thank goodness for us, that bullpen held it down in Toronto, gave us the quick 2-0 win. Now, we matched that game up with the Sunday night game. And again, we locked this in late on Saturday night once we saw value there. Pittsburgh Pirates were at plus 108, overnight, and eventually ended up as being a favorite a little bit earlier in the day before some late money came in on Toronto again. Now, also, if you remember yesterday, we had that plus 130 with Toronto. Some money came in on Toronto and dropped that line down, but then about maybe 30 to 45 minutes before that game, Edwin Encarnacion was announced out, which, again, it's a big deal. He's a big hitter. But that drove that line up to the Yankees right back to minus 150. So, in effect, we did get a little bit less than what we had anticipated. But then again, we're not betting one game based on one guy being out of the lineup because that Toronto lineup is pretty potent. Did the job, scored two runs. But the name of the game was the pitching matchup there for what Toronto had and how that turned out. Now, in the night game, nightcap, before we get to our first five-inning wagers, was another interesting circumstance. Morton's on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates, which immediately is going to send up flags to the national public. And say, oh, my God, Morton, not really that good a pitcher. He's decent at home at best. The Pirates are a really, really good home team and a really good team overall. Looking for the sweep against the Dodgers. That's another misnomer, which I take nothing and put any stock into, is that if one team won the first two games, it's really hard to sweep a team, so just take the opposite team. That's just archaic thinking right there. Each game itself is going to be bet entirely based on that situation. You don't want to say, oh, man, well, 2 out of 3, it's hard to win 3 out of 3. Let me just take the opposite team. No. Alex Wood was traded over from Atlanta to the Dodgers. I like Alex Wood as a pitcher. There's no question about it. But when the betting public, an uninformed, I like to say, betting public, is looking Wood versus Morton, L.A. Dodgers, bright lights. Boy, look at all those superstars on the team. They're going to knock Morton around. Well, they were right for the most part on that. But when betting a dog, we like to take a look at two compartments of that game. Starting pitcher, Alex Wood on the road versus Morton at home. We thought it was basically a 50-50 toss-up. Flip it over to the bullpen, same exact way as well. So we figured, you know, if you're going to flip a coin and you're going to get, you know, if it lands on your side, you're going to get the plus 108. If it lands on the other side, you're only going to lose the plus 100. It's worth the value to take that game on its edge. Pittsburgh Pirates at home in a big spot. You thought they would come up big. Well, they were down 5-1. And you're saying to yourself, now, if I had bet the first five innings, you would have been a loser. And boy, it would have really been a painful loss because the way the Pittsburgh Pirates stormed back from down 5-1, I believe the game ended up 13-6. And they really opened it up in the seventh inning. Could have even opened it up in the sixth inning earlier. McCutchen got a couple big hits. Kong hit a home run in that game. I mean, it was a really fun game to watch if you were on the Pittsburgh Pirates, which we were. But in that instance, again, when we had the dog, I want to take a look at the starting pitcher and the bullpen and the fact that the team was home in that situation, still needing the win. And we got everything that we had planned yesterday out of those dogs, a plus 130 winner and a plus 108 winner. So both of those went off. And again, when you see me tweet, Facebook, and you talk to me, you know me. But when there's two dogs out on the table, I'm expecting to get the split. Just take the positive money and move on. Anything else than that is an absolute bonus, and it certainly was, and a lot of fun to do that. But we also yesterday used another one of our formulas there that we like. If we're going to have dogs, it's going to be matched up even and even. If we're going to have favorites, it's just going to be 1, 3, or 5 increments on there. So we went first five innings yesterday in three games, and we were paying a little bit of price on the number, but I did really, really like the matchups. Now, last week, again, learning how to flip the script, taking the knowledge of the past week and applying it to something in the future. We faded the Cleveland Indians last week in three straight games, and we ended up going 1-2 in those games. Or excuse me, 0-1-2 in those games. Didn't even pick up a win. Looking at that, Kipnis is on the DL. They're trading guys daily. The team is dead in the water. For some reason, a light flipped on with these young kids on Cleveland, which really allowed them to excel. So yesterday we figured Corey Kluber at home was going to be a pretty good matchup there against the Twins with Phil Hughes. They busted him around, I believe, at the end of five innings. We laid minus 158, I want to say, in that game. But after five innings, it was 7 or 8-0 Cleveland. That's exactly the way you plan it. And it was really easy. You didn't even have to breathe any sigh of relief at the foul, like, whew, man, we won by one run or anything like that. It was a real nice and easy target there, so we picked that one up. The next game on the docket was the Detroit Tigers and the Boston Red Sox. Now, I like to be on that fade Verlander trade. There's no question about it. He's pitched a little bit better, but in this instance yesterday, I thought we had a game that we're going to be able to snap up. Young rookie pitcher on the road. Boston has a couple guys sitting out, Hanley Ramirez, Pablo Sandoval. The team's basically dead in the water. And Verlander actually pitched very well over those first five innings. We ended up losing that 2-1, but a key answer was Ian Kinsler made a key error, I believe was in the third inning, which allowed the inning to extend. Nobody scored a run on that play, but it ended up with first and the second. An infield single loaded the bases up, and then very uncharacteristic is Verlander's usually a pretty good control pitcher, walked the number nine batter, and put in a run, and a run came in again right behind to make it 2-0. Tigers will only get one run back, but if you had to do it all over again, it wasn't a bad catch just based on the pitching matchups because Verlander was very good and, in effect, probably should have won that game 1-0 after five. Now, after five innings, you know, all hell broke loose. Boston won that game pretty easily, but on our end of the cap of the first five innings, it wasn't a bad cap. It just didn't work out, and you can't win everything, so that dropped us to 1-1 over the first five inning wagers for the day. The third and final game was actually a sweat, and I didn't think it was going to be. I had factored into that game that Washington was going to score 3 to 4 runs over the first five innings with that all right-handed balanced lineup against the left-handed pitcher on the road. Colorado, as you know, they don't travel too well. They usually hit a lot of cores. Sometimes they struggle on the road. They took a 1-0 lead in the first inning with the Carlos Gonzalez home run. Flan got touched around a little bit later, I believe, in the third inning to make it 2-1, and the following inning made it 3-1, which gave us a cushion because we were betting the run line at -1.5 and still laying 160, as you know, because that first five innings was somewhere around 250, 240 by the time we had got to it. But Scherzer did escape a couple times there. We picked up the 3-2 winner to give us a 2-1 split on our favorites over the first five innings, and also, more importantly, took the sweep in the dog place. It was a very good day yesterday. It was 4-1 overall and picked up close to 15 units, and that still wasn't enough to carry the week, which we lost, as I said, 2 units. Hey, we tell you when we win, we tell you when we lose. The name of the game is to keep you in play and continue to put you on games that we think give you the advantage as the player. So over the past 2 weeks of betting, even though you lost a little bit last week, still up roughly 6 units, depending on how big of a player you are. You could be up $6,000, $600, or $60. It doesn't, you know, whatever your increments are, we always stress that you do keep those the same. But overall in the week, it really was a lot of fun there on what we had and what we looked to go over. The card tonight doesn't look too good. I don't know if we're going to have enough time in the show since it's only 30 minutes today to go over that, but there's not a lot of value there. So we're going to hold off on firing until we finally see some lineups, and maybe we can get in there with a couple mismatches and maybe put out a play or two to start that week off on cashing in on the right way. Folks, on the show itself, you know we do 2 shows. I do a show today, Monday at noon. I also do a show on Thursday, 8 o'clock, which is our primetime edition. Heading into the football season, it's going to be a lot of fun. We want to turn this into a more interactive show by bringing on callers, maybe some guests, and also doing it more live with Twitter and Facebook. It's coming down the line. The design of the show and the Long Shots brand with TrendBetting.com is to make this a daily thing. You know, have multiple cappers on with multiple shows. A lot of fun having good information and good sports talk going back and forth. We hope one day to make that a reality for everybody out there so we can all join in, because the name of the game in this industry is to build your bankroll, but build it the right way. Folks, that's why I'm with TrendBetting.com. I met Lucky Lance Williams 3 years ago. Oh, man. I mean, time really does fly. We came together on a vision. You know me. I have my website, RightSideValuePlays.com. I don't just lend my name, my image, my information out to anybody out there. But Lance had the right vision for what we want the sports industry to be. Win, tell people about it. Lose, tell people about it. Don't give out both sides of the plays. Don't say you should have bet $100,000 on this game. I lost 16 games in a row, but the 17th game I put $1 million on and now we're up back in the plus. That's not what the gambling industry is supposed to be about. It's about sharing information. It's about paying for an honest product and getting an honest result. We can't win all the time. There's no question about that. But the one thing we can guarantee is a lot of hard work, a lot of effort, and a lot of knowledge is going to go into these plays at trendbetting.com. If you haven't done so yet, click on the website. It's trendbetting.com. On the right-hand side, there's the Experts tab. Click on that. You'll see a complete roster lineup ready and available and waiting to assist you and your gambling needs. Something is there for everybody. NCAA football, NCAA basketball, NFL football, mixed martial arts, hockey, soccer, NASCAR, whatever you want, there's a package waiting and available for you. You see all the roster there listed. Click on the bios. And, of course, you know I tell you every week, best-looking bio on there is mine. If you want to win money, click on Donnie Wrightside on the website, and we'll be able to assist you and get you going right away. If you just wanted to reach out on Facebook, I'm on there at Donnie Wrightside. Same thing as everybody on that roster there is on Twitter and Facebook. Reach out if you have questions about the packages, even questions about general knowledge of betting or even the games tonight, having any problems with it. Folks, this is what we're here for. This is what we love to do. It's sharing information. It's getting in touch with the public. And more importantly, setting you up to put you on right sides of games. And what I mean by that is if we have an honest advantage in a game, that's what we're here for. We definitely want to put you on those games and build your bankroll the right way. About the show itself, it's Guy Sports Talk Radio. We talk it every single week. NCAA football, NCAA basketball, NFL, fantasy. Down the line, as I said again, it's going to be more interactive. We'll take your calls. We're going to recap what happens during the week, what goes on, future impact, upcoming matchups. All that stuff is going to factor in. It's gambling tips we're going to look at as the NFL comes up. Why is the line moving, public versus Vegas? The NFL is a tricky beast, and you want to be on the right side of these games or at least have the knowledge of why that line is moving and how you can apply it to use it for yourself. Because public versus Vegas in the National Football League is a major, major indicator. Yesterday, as you saw it in baseball, the steam is 50-50 at best. Steam, oh my God, everybody get on the Yankees. Get on it. They're running from 130. It's 135, 140, 145, 150. Fantastic. You put yourself out of business with that play. Oh my God, I got to get all my money back. Dodgers. No doubt the Dodgers are going to win tonight. Dodgers need to win tonight. The line goes from 100 to 105 to 110 to 115. I believe it closed at 118. Fantastic. You're out of business again. Don't just follow steam. Know why the steam is moving and how you can apply it to yourself and certainly profit. About myself, folks, I've been in this game for over 20 years as a professional gambler, online for 3 years with my site, rightsidevalueplays.com, and the home at trendbetting.com in football season. Same as a lot of times in baseball season, the 401k approach is your best approach. Take the time. Take the knowledge. Don't just go ahead. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. We're not going to have 16 parlays in one day. We're not going to say, hey, if you lost four straight games, quadruple, double down, double dog dare, double down, and win the fifth game, and now you're plus money. That's not what it's about. I'm a flat bettor in the industry. What that means is I'm not going to ask you to double down, or I like this game 16 times more than I like the game I just put out yesterday. Every single game is bet flat. We're going to put you on that side and keep it as a 401k approach and slowly build that bankroll and certainly turn this in to a gambling lifestyle as opposed to a gambling night for you there. Myself, I love NCAA football, basketball, NFL, Major League Baseball, and college basketball. It's what I do. Down the road, we'll put out some good bits of information on videos. If you want to follow me on Twitter, folks, I'm at RightsideVP with TrendBetting.com. I do have a promotional account at Donnie Wrightside. Reach out to me. I'm more than happy to go over information with you and just share it back and forth. I love it. I'm passionate about the sports business, and it's what I love to do. So if you have any questions, just reach out to me. We can go back and forth on any certain type of information in anything in the sports gambling world, but I certainly like to hang out on Twitter and just get the daily feel for who's betting what, why you're betting something, and more importantly there, why is that line moving, as we like to say. Folks, thanks so much for tuning in to the Monday show. As I said again, tune back in on Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a 45-minute show on Long Shots Primetime Edition, hosted by yourself, Donnie Wrightside. We're going to get started on working on our stuff for this evening in Major League Baseball. Once again, folks, this is Long Shots Radio Monday, Major League Baseball edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Good luck, and folks, we'll see you on the right side.